On the Nose, A Lifelong Obsession with Yosemite's Most Iconic Climb by Hans Florin with Jamie Moy.
This is a Made for Success audio production.
Introduction. El Capitan is awe-inspiring. I've watched visitors to Yosemite National Park who, upon seeing the granite cliff for the first time, gasp, their eyes welling with tears. I've seen others, including young children, become inexplicably still in its presence. Part of the magic of El Capitan is its size. 3,000 vertical feet of lustrous rock soaring above the trees like a castle or a cathedral. And part of it is its accessibility. The base of El Capitan is a 15-minute walk from your car. There are few places on the earth where you can get to such a wild, colossal rock face without first renting a float plane or a Russian helicopter, and perhaps a yak. The fact that we've figured out how to climb El Capitan, and therefore how to have a personal relationship with it, makes it all the more remarkable. It's not a stretch to say that climbing El Cap, typically a 3 to 5 day endeavor, ranks among the greatest adventures of our time. Since the first ascent in 1958, thousands have attempted El Capitan, most via the nose route, which is the original line following the cliff's massive prow. About 64% make it to the top. The others, overcome by fear, vertigo, fatigue, dehydration, and sometimes injury, are forced to rappel, descend by rope, to the bottom, or accept a helicopter evacuation. The nose is considered the ultimate proving ground for big wall climbers. I first climbed the nose in 1989. It took me and a college buddy 46 hours of continuous climbing, interspersed with a couple naps wherever we could find a ledge wide enough to rest on. By then, a couple of the best Yosemite climbers in the world had figured out how to climb the route in under 24 hours. Nose in the day, or NIAD, was the mark to achieve. Today, the fastest time up the nose remains the most coveted speed record in climbing and has been called the wildest competition on Earth. In my 30-year quest to lay claim to the record, I've had the privilege of partnering with and competing against some of the most storied names in modern climbing: Peter Croft, Steve Schneider, Timmy O'Neill, Dean Potter, Yuji Hirayama, Tommy Caldwell, Thomas and Alexander Huber, Sean Leary, and most recently, Alex Honnold. We've whittled the time it takes to climb the nose down to a mind-blowing 2 hours, 23 minutes, and 46 seconds. Professional climbers, myself included, continue to push the limits of what's possible on El Capitan. Our most remarkable achievements, like when Tommy Caldwell and Kevin Jorgensen made the first free ascent of El Capitan's ridiculously sheer Dawn Wall in 2015, capture mainstream media attention to a degree never before experienced in the history of rock climbing. More news stories, magazine articles, and documentary films have been created about El Capitan than anything else in the sport. It's become the most famous vertical wall in the world. I've had the idea of writing a book about my experiences on El Cap for a while now. I figured the topic would interest at least a subsegment of the population, mainly other climbers. But it wasn't until September 12, 2015, when I made my 100th ascent of the nose, that I felt compelled to write this book, and to do it for a larger audience. I realized then how ludicrous it is that I've climbed the nose 100 times, and how equally ridiculous it is that I have no intention of stopping anytime soon. I'm not a young man anymore. I'm married with 2 kids, have more than a full-time job managing a rock climbing gym in the San Francisco Bay Area, and speak and teach all over the world, yet I can't give up the nose. This book is my best attempt to answer the question why. I hope it will lead to some interesting insights about how to live a satisfying life, how to achieve big goals, and how an otherwise ordinary guy can become a rock star. Chapter 1, Virgin Time. I was pretty sure I was about to die. 1 second before, I'd been standing on a piton, a metal spike wedged into a granite rock face some 300 feet above the Yosemite Valley floor. Suddenly, the piton had shifted, causing me to lose my balance. I pawed frantically at the rock wall,